traveling around Hyrule collecting magical objects and fighting monsters, not living the same depressing pandemic day over and over. I scarfed down the mushroom skewer, and Link's energy level shot up. I was back in business. "I'm coming, Zelda." I raised the bow of light, aimed, and that's when Mom grabbed the switch out of my hands. I hollered and jumped to my feet. But since I'd been lying there for so long, my ankle gave out and I stumbled. Mom sighed. "Your muscles have all atrophied." "No, no, no. You can't do this. I'm almost done with the entire game." Her expression didn't change. Why did I think this would mean anything to her? Dad was the one who used to play video games with me at his place. But that was before he left for his big, important job in Paris. Mom pointed to the back door. "Out." As the feeling came back into my lower legs, I thought about trying to grab my switch and making a run for it. But Mom looked even more ready to fight than Dark Beast Ganon. "Just let me save my game," I pleaded. Mom wasn't about to hand over the switch. "Tell me what to press." There was nothing more nerve-wracking than watching Mom poke at my tech. I was terrified she was accidentally going to erase the whole game. I made her hold up the screen to make sure she'd done it right. "How long do I have to go out for?" I asked. I expected she'd start with a half hour, and I could negotiate her down to 15 minutes. But she already had it all figured out. "I need to do a quick grocery run before Jack calls to nitpick this story." Mom was an editor at a weekly magazine run by some guy named Jack, who she was always complaining about. "Gigi's napping, so I want you out till I come back." "Or I could just stay inside with Zelda and be totally quiet?" I said. "Nice try." Mom held up my switch. "Oh, and I'm taking this with me." "That's child abuse," I said. I was only half joking. What was I supposed to do outside all by myself? I pulled out my phone to text my best friend Josh for moral support. SOS, Mom took my switch. "And no phones outside either," Mom said, holding out her hand to confiscate it. "I want a screen-free visit to the great outdoors." Mom suited up in mask, face shield, and gloves, and marched me, deviceless, out the door. At that moment, I really hated her. But it wasn't like I could run off and live with Dad. He had taken this newspaper correspondent job in Paris, and because of stupid COVID, the borders had closed. I couldn't visit him, and if he wanted to keep the job, he had to stay there. Otherwise, he might not be allowed back in. We had a decent-sized backyard with a deck jutting out from the guest bedroom / Gigi's room, a couple soccer nets, and a tree swing. But, hello, I was 13, not 7. Plus, kicking around a soccer ball by myself got old fast. I wandered into the garage, hoping to find something to do. That's when I spotted the box Dad had given me before he'd moved to Paris last fall. He'd said it was stuff I'd kept at his Brooklyn apartment with some other sports equipment he couldn't take on the plane with him. The first thing I saw was our baseball mitts. Mine was nestled inside Dad's bigger one. Just looking at them made me think about this day last fall. Dad and I were in Prospect Park, and there were tons of people there, none of them wearing masks or face shields or jumping into the bushes to get out of each other's way. Instead, everyone was having picnics and cheering for these little kids playing peewee soccer and stopping to say hello and let their dogs sniff each other. Dad and I were tossing around the ball, nice and easy, not even talking, just enjoying the thwack of the ball against our gloves, the sunshine, that fall smell of dried leaves. Afterward, we walked to Pepino's, this pizza place we both like, watched the Yankees crush the Red Sox on their TV, and polished off an entire extra-large pepperoni. Remembering that day made my chest tight and tingly. I picked up our gloves and pulled them apart. That's when I noticed what was lying beneath them. The bow of light. Okay,